This is episode number 18 of the Interactive Distractions Podcast for the week of March 24th, 2008. Coming up on this week's episode, we've got this week's distractions, gaming news, our feature on how we feel about movies made from games, new releases, listener email, and the all-digital question of the week.
Hello and welcome to episode number 18 of Interactive Distractions.
Thanks, Chris.
You're welcome. My name is Chris Riccio, and I'm here with Jason Haystriker.
Yo.
And Jeff Chorney.
What's going on, guys?
And episode number 18. Yeah, good deal. How you guys doing this week, man? Jason, what's up?
It's been this has been a crazy, crazy week. I got sick earlier this week. There was talk of me going to the hospital. We didn't know if the podcast could go on this week. But no, I'm here, ready and waiting for you guys. I'm taking one for the team. No, actually, I'm all better. I'm feeling good.
Good,
but
you know, if you were in the hospital, we'd expect you to do it from there, right?
I was actually making plans. I'm like, I wonder if they've got Wi-Fi at the hospital. Like, I was planning ahead of time. I'm like, I'm searching online. I'm like, do you guys have Wi-Fi? Okay, you can treat me.
Awesome. Have you all drugged up and talking nonsense? That'd be fun.
Well, Sunday's today. Today is Easter. Happy Easter, everyone. I hope
Happy Easter.
Yesterday though was a big day. It was moving day for my old roommates, and it was also my birthday. So I woke up.
Happy belated.
Well, thank you. I woke up about 7 a.m., got right into it, went over to their house, started packing their shit, packing the truck, and it was just a grueling day. That's all I can really sum it up to be. About 5 o'clock, we kind of, you know, ended things, and we had a party to go to. And I got a call from Chris on the way out there, and Chris is like, dude, where the hell are you? It said 6 o'clock or something like that. I'm like, I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, David said that to me. He left a message on my voicemail. He's like, yeah, we're going to meet up around 6 o'clock. I'm like, all right, cool, I'll be there.
It was the telephone game, essentially, because you know, someone said 6 o'clock, just like on a whim or something. I don't know, but there was never any plan for 6 o'clock, like officially. So word just kind of got out and it spread crazy stuff. But what did we do? We went to a little Irish pub. It wasn't just my birthday, by the way. It was actually my ex-roommate, David. His birthday's on the 26th. So, early happy birthday to him. So, we always celebrate our birthdays together. But, yeah, we met at the Irish pub, had a few drinks. We had some booby cupcakes. Jager bomb. I think just one. And then we went right across the street. There was an art show, a little gallery set up. And they had some really, really amazing pieces there. I wasn't expecting this stuff, but it was all like video game characters.
Oh, yeah, it was cool
characters,
stuff.
Batman and stuff. It was really, really neat.
They had like old school Transformers too, like art with I saw three pieces with Grimlock from the old school Transformers series. So that was
nice. Yeah, that's true. Actually, I saw one. It was there were two pieces in a set. There was Starscream and Grimlock, and the price tags, you know, they had their name on. It was like, this is Grimlock, this is Starscream. They were mixed up, and, you know, that's my right. Inner nerd cried out. I'm like, the tags. You know, this very expensive art gallery. And I'm like, you stupid sons of bitches. Fixing the
tags. How can you fuck that up?
Exactly.
That's clearly Grimlock. Yeah, they had other stuff like Voltron. I saw some Ice Climber stuff, Q-Bert. And then
Dig Dug.
Yeah, Dig Dug.
What was the other one? There was one other one.
Ice Climber, Dig Dug. I don't know. I took pictures of it all, though.
So. Oh, did you? Oh, cool.
Yeah. Well, just the video game stuff. Just in the off chance that I would post it, maybe.
Oh, and they had zombie Lego men. That was awesome.
That was cool. Yeah, lots of Lego stuff, too, and zombie stuff. And yeah, really, really neat. I totally was not expecting that. Yeah, because they didn't advertise anything that was going on inside the art gallery at the time, what the subject matter was. So, yeah, pleasant surprise. That wasn't actually the main draw, though. We went to the art gallery for a burlesque show. And if you're not familiar with burlesque, you know, it's chicks with, you know, pasties on their boobies and stuff, and that's kind of all sexy. Kind of like a comedy show of sorts sometimes. This one totally was.
Yeah, it was.
But long story short, man, it was an awesome, awesome time. It was a great show that they put on. There was a huge turnout. I don't think they were really expecting it because the place was packed.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, and there was free beer.
Yeah, free beer, and they had, like, snacks and stuff, too. So, Jason, I have to tell you this, man.
Yeah.
And I wanted to wait until now to tell you this. Crystal really enjoyed herself.
No way.
Yeah, she really had a good time. She had no... She said she was very surprised that she had that good of a time, but yeah. She was actually like, I kind of... If it wasn't for Jessica having to leave, that I would have said that we could stay for the rest of it.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah, it was so. Touch and go, because when the Evite went out, you know, Crystal was like, sorry, not my kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, but, oh.
You know what got her? We were in the car on the way to, I don't know, we were going food shopping or something, and I was like... You know, I started talking to her about it, and I'm like, well, you know, I've never been to one, so I figured I'll give it a shot and see what it's like. And she's like, all right, fine, I'll go.
Because she has, like, inadvertently challenged her, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It was not my intention at all, but apparently that got her, and she decided to go. But yeah, how many more skits did they do after we left?
After you guys left? Just a handful, two or three maybe, you know, and they keep having people come up from the audience and, you know, they do little skits with them.
Gotcha.
Which was
did
funny.
Did the Asian chick come out again anymore?
Yeah, she did a couple times. Yeah.
Damn.
And they had like a, you know, the whole ensemble come out for one sketch too. It's like, you know, some dude that was just sitting on a park bench and, you know, they, you know, had all the girls come and walk by him and yeah, it was fun stuff.
All with pasties?
Some had pasties. Yes, absolutely. Or suspenders or whatever.
Yeah, it was one of those things where, you know, Jessica was wondering what time it was, and Crystal was like, okay, well, I said, why don't we just, we'll wait around for one more, and then we'll go. And it was this Asian chick who had already come out for one show, and she came out for a second show with two fans. And I thought that was awesome, man.
Yeah, she did a great job with that.
Yeah, she did a really good job, and it was very, very talent. She had a lot of talent. She was doing a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that's that. I really wanted Jason to talk about that for some reason. it was the first time I'd ever been to a burlesque show, and it was actually a good time. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
Gotta go to the Montreal strip clubs.
Now we've got lots of strip clubs here in Atlanta. I've only been to one so far. So if you guys want to take me out to another one, I'm okay with that.
Well, you're open, huh?
Depends if Lisa wants to go, because we're thinking about doing a couples thing.
Let's do it.
All right, cool.
I'll sign her up. Oh, Chris got me a pretty neat gift too. He thought he was Mr. Funny Guy, and you know, he got a gift for David and I both. And he's like, "All right, do you want your present now or later?" I'm like, "Well, okay, we'll do it now." So we go out to his car, and he opens up his trunk, and it's a Barbie bag and a Tinkerbell bag. And I'm like, "Ooh, which one's mine?" Hilarity ensued, laughs, points. You know,
so. Jason got the Barbie, by the way.
I got the Barbie one.
Nice. It's probably pink, right?
Yeah. Lots.
Yeah, pink's more your color, so.
Yeah, yeah, I can rock it. Well. No, inside yeah, he actually got me some, like, Batman figures, so very, very cool.
Jason, I've been instructed to tell you that the Barbie bag was actually Crystal's idea.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because she's sitting right next to me, and she just hit me and said, tell him it was my idea.
Oh, does she want to open that door? I don't know. All right, duly noted. I will make note. All right. Well, no, I mean, then here I am today. You know, we had birthday, we had sickness, we had moving, and yeah, unfortunately, you know, not a lot to do with games in between there. But, you know, real life happens.
That's right. Well, Jeff, how are you doing, man?
A little bit tired, a little bit hungover, and mostly tired. So I'm not too talkative. That's why I'm just kind of... in one of those moods where I'm just like, oh, I just want to lay here and do nothing. But yeah, got a busy weekend. Like, of course, Easter dinner at the girlfriend's was last night. Afterwards, we went out to the bar because a friend of mine, actually Andrew Rudson, who was on the podcast before.
I've heard of him.
He's actually, he's moving to London. He got a new job with Digital Extremes, and that's where they're based out of, London, Ontario, not London, England.
Right.
And so he's moving out there as of tomorrow. Actually, he might have moved out today. So we kind of all went to the bar to kind of have like a going away thing. And it's only 2 hours away from Toronto, but it's still quite a bit.
Still. Well, that's bittersweet, though. You know, it's cool that he's moving on up and stuff. But
yeah, it's not like he's not in visiting range, though. So that's good.
No, no, not at all.
Well, cool.
He'll still be in town quite a bit. So
we'll tell him that Interactive Distraction says good luck.
I will. And if he's listening, then you just told him yourself. So
there we go. All right. Hopefully he is listening.
Yeah. So that's about it. That's about all I did on the weekend, and a little bit of gaming here and there, but not too much.
How was your Easter?
It was good. Lots of food. Great. This is kind of weird. Like, I never picture like Easter and ribs, but that's Tanya's family made. It was a shitload of ribs and stuff like that. And I was like, oh my God, I was so full. Yeah. Because it was good times. Good times.
Yeah, food's a going thing on my end. Actually, dessert is more the going thing on my end. And actually, Jason knows about this. My cousin Billy owns a bakery down here. And actually, he has been disowned from the family for...
let's back up. Let's put the family in air quotes. Ricky is kind of Italian, so...
Yeah, I'm Italian. So he's been right. He's been disowned from the family because he missed his godfather's funeral, and it was not for reasons that that some of my family thought were not good reasons.
He was playing Rock Band,
pretty much. but that was about probably 6-8 months ago. Mm-hmm. He was at Easter dinner today, so I was very happy to see that. The hatchet has been buried. The air has been cleared, so it's good to see that that's done and over with.
Does that mean you can bring in more cakes to work now?
Yeah, it does, actually.
Awesome. Okay, good. Well, I'm happy for you and the family. Good.
Yeah, cool. I also got in a bunch of the modification stuff that I've been looking at. So, yeah, the PS2 is pretty much done. It's got the hard drive in it, and it's got, I said that last week, and it's got flip top on it. I finally got Swap Magic, and I got to use it, and it works fine, and I'll get to that later on. And I got the memory card exploit figured out, so now it's just a matter of, getting things to load on the hard drive, and I'm good to go. Mm-hmm. And that's all of note for this week for me, so... But yeah, this is, if you are listening right now, hopefully it is Monday, or at least the show was out on Monday. I don't know if you're listening on the day the show came out. If it's not, I'm sorry. As Jason said, he was not doing too well on Thursday, so we delayed the podcast. And with it being Easter, it was just really hard to get things going. So we're actually recording on Easter Sunday, and it is currently 8:20 p.m. So chances are I am not going to do any editing tonight. But... hopefully editing will be a fraction of the time it usually has been because of the fact that we got word of a program that will help us a lot, thanks to Torgo. Thank you very much, Glenn.
Thank you, Torgo.
And hopefully the show didn't take too long to get out, and we're sorry for the delay, but hopefully it'll be a good show and you'll enjoy it. So
can't blame Jeff this time, believe it or
that's
not.
That's right.
I know, for once.
Hey, we all have a delayed show on our shoulders now.
Oh, crap. Was I the last one? Damn.
Yeah, you were the last one. Because I had the one when I was in Orlando, remember? And I had the bad connection.
Yeah. Oh. That's right.
So, crap. Yeah, we've all been
I never even got to hold it source. Over you guys.
Yeah, well, shit. Now we don't get to anymore. But we can start fresh.
All right.
It's still usually Jeff. So.
I'll agree to that. By the way, I can't make it next week.
Fuck you. Okay.
You're telling us way too early. Why don't you wait till
exactly. I got to wait till Thursday. Yeah. That's
right. Thursday at what 8:30. Time do we usually start? 9? Yeah. At 8:15. All right, cool. Well, Jason, what have you been playing this week, man?
Very, very little stuff. I did pick up the Metal Gear Solid Collection for the PS2/1, I think.
Okay.
Something like that. Yeah, because they, the original game, they just pressed the original black PlayStation disc.
Wait, what?
And yeah, seriously, it's an actual and it's got a black bottom to it. It's meant for PS1. It will still play, in the PS3, regardless of the PS3 version. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Wasn't Metal Gear Solid 3 discs?
Metal Gear Solid?
Yeah, the first one, wasn't it? Two discs.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, it is still two discs. I'm sorry.
Oh,
Anyway, that I got to double check. No, I'm pretty sure it's the two original discs. Then it's got, 2 and 3 on it as well. I don't know. It's the same old stuff. I mean, I love this series. And, this was a day one buy for me, regardless of what the content was, just because I'm a sucker for, the series. But
Metal Gear.
Yeah. I can't suggest it to everybody unless you, you know, don't have these games already. I mean, it's $30. You know, $10 a piece for these games and is an amazing deal in of itself.
Oh, yeah.
My major disappointment was that, you know, Metal Gear Solid 1 is the actual original one. And there have been other versions since then that are better, namely Twin Snakes, you know, the GameCube. I actually popped that in afterwards, and I'm like, wow, this is really different.
Yeah, it's so much better.
In all, I'm not disappointed because I like looking at the pretty box, I guess, but that's an expensive pretty box, man. I don't know. What else did I play? Devil May Cry 4, just a little bit. Chris was kind of talking about it last week, and I kind of got her hankering. I got to get that bug out of my system. So popped in it for a little bit. Popped in Warhawk finally. We had our first official Warhawk Wednesday. This was just the preliminary trial run, though. But
air quotes around official.
Yeah. So not everybody made it. It was just me and Jeff and Ricky Duty, Eamon. He showed up. Jeff did show up later, but it was... Yeah. Passed our allotted time. So.
Yep.
I was on. You said Jeff twice, by the way.
Did I?
Yeah, you said it was me and you and Ricky, and then after Ricky and I logged off, Jeff showed up.
Gotcha. All right, I fucked up. Thanks for pointing it out to the world.
And how'd it go? Was it just did you play with randoms or just like the four of you?
It was just three.
Yeah, it was just the three of us. We were just trying to get the hang of it again. I basically logged in. And as soon as I – because Jason and Ricky had been playing a while already, and I log in, and I'm trying to get my – you know, I'm switching all my options back to analog stick as opposed to the six-axis because said that it was on six-axis. So I'm switching everything back around, and then I'm hitting all the buttons making sure I know what does what. And during the time I was trying to get my bearings, Jason blew me up twice. I was like, fuck, man, leave me alone. I'm trying to figure out what's going on.
I was up for blood, man. I didn't know what the hell was going on. I was still trying to get used to everything, and I just saw red marks in my crosshairs, and I'm like, you're dead. It's destroy or be destroyed. You were just a casualty.
I wasn't doing any destroying at that particular moment, so yeah.
But no, it was fun, dude. And as soon as I figured out that I could how to actually lock on with rockets, I stayed on the ground pretty much and just, you know, sniped Ricky Duty.
Yeah.
I was a bitch.
I did that to him a couple times, too. Actually, I think I did that to you once, too, while we were the first game, maybe.
Oh, really?
I don't remember.
That was fun. That was fun. I want to do it again. We should do it again this week.
That's the plan.
Cool. Oh, Audio Surf. Have you guys heard of this one?
Yes.
Never heard of it.
You've heard of it? Yeah. I got it off of Steam. It's a, you know, I don't want to say rhythm-based, but it's kind of rhythm-based. Picture Wipeout playing, you know, your own soundtracks mixed in with like a Match 3 type game. Kind of like Clax. Okay. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I remember Clax, yeah.
This is really cool because you actually choose, you know, an MP3 on your, you know, local computer. And then it generates a track based on the song itself, based on the tempo and pitch and rhythm and everything. So as the song is kind of starting out and it's going a little slow, you're kind of ramping up. But as soon as the song kicks in, the whole stage like turns red and you're going straight down and blocks are flying at you. You've got to match up colors, you know, depending on, you know, where they're at. And they'll keep changing colors depending on which mode that you're in. There's lots of different modes. One of the really cool things is that, you know, it's got a leaderboard for each song that you play, and it matches you up against people in your own area as well. So if you have like a, you know, specific musical taste and you find out other people in your area, hey, maybe you guys can hook up, talk about music and shit.
And go to
not
a
that's
show,
like a great gameplay. Jeff, are you giving us crap about the burlesque show?
No, not at all, man. I think that's awesome.
Sweet. All right. It's going to kick your ass. Audio Surf. Yeah. The leaderboard too. If you actually place like in the top slot, and if you get bumped off, you'll get an email saying that, you know, so and so has kicked your ass. You suck now.
That's hilarious.
Makes me want to go right back in and
rubs it in.
Yeah, pretty much. But no, it was $10 on Steam. You also get the Orange Box soundtrack. Lots of good tracks on there. Whole thing's $10. So I urge and implore people to pick it up, if you would.
Cool.
That's my week.
Very cool. Not Jeff, bad. How about you, man?
Kind of a short week for me, too. Last week I played, I played Mario Galaxy for the first time. Thought it was pretty cool. I think I only played like the first few stages or whatever. I beat the first boss thingy. I think that's about as far as I got. Where you got to chase his tail around or whatever.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty cool. It controlled a lot better than I thought it would. I thought it would be really tough to kind of get used to, but after a couple minutes, it's pretty intuitive. It was pretty fun. Like other Wii stuff though, I have so much stuff on like the back burner and my kind of backlog of games, and one day I want to get to that, along with Metroid and Resident Evil 4 and all those games. But it was pretty cool for what I played. Also, after I played that, a bunch of us played Smash Brothers Brawl for a few hours, a couple hours.
Oh, nice.
That was pretty fun. I like it. It's just like Melee to me. I didn't really see a difference at all. But then again, I didn't play the crap out of Melee or anything like that. So graphics did look a little bit better. Music is amazing. I love the music in those games. They did so well done. It's just awesome. If they ever had like a soundtrack for that, I would definitely download it or buy it, because as geeky as that may sound, it's even though it is all video game music and themes, they do it really, really well, like orchestrated and stuff. It's pretty awesome.
It is amazing, seriously. I mean, it's like a who's who of like video game composers. I mean, even outside the gaming world, there's just lots of great, great music in there.
Oh, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's still kind of crap at the game. I still think it is purposely unbalanced, I guess, or purposely balanced, depending on how you look at it. It's one of those games where you could be totally getting your ass kicked, and then something just happens to fall in your favor, and then you wipe out like everybody on the board. And it's kind of like that. It kind of keeps it fun, though, so people who aren't really that good or new to the game, they kind of feel a sense of accomplishment, or that they're actually doing something and getting good at the game. So, but it's fun. It's a lot of fun with a lot of people, and we're, of course, all like having a few wobbly pops while we were playing, and the more of those we drank. Wobbly pops.
What's a wobbly pop?
Yeah, I was going to ask the same thing.
A beer.
Okay.
You never heard of it. Yeah.
So pops,
we're not
makes
up with your
wobbly.
Canadian language.
I guess first pop is kind of like that, kind of like, what the fuck is pop? What are you talking about? Sorry, wobbly soda. How about that? Is that
gotcha.
Better?
Okay. All right.
So yeah, that was a lot of fun. I'm going to pick that up for sure. It's definitely one of those games. I don't think I'd play it myself, or with all the online problems I've been hearing, and the fact that there's no voice chat and it's hard to get into games. I'm not interested in that aspect of it right now, but in terms of having people over in a party game, which most good games on the Wii are party games, it is very, very good. I'd recommend it to anyone who has people over to play fighting games and just like to have a good time. It's good things. It's good things for sure. PS2, I played a little more of Persona 3. Not too much to go into. I only played it for about another hour.
Are you still digging it? That's still good stuff?
I'm still digging it, yeah. I still don't want to. The only reason I'm forcing myself not to play it, just because I want to beat Lost Odyssey first before I get into it. Because I can only have an attention span for, well, like half an RPG at one time. Never mind two. So, and there's a segue into the other game of playing Lost Odyssey. I'm at a boss actually now that I can't seem to beat, so I might actually have to do some grinding for the first time in the game, which kind of annoys me. And in this game, you can't really grind because, like I said before, it kind of levels with you. But with the immortal characters, they learn from the mortal characters how to do certain spells or certain skills. So I got to get a certain skill for or magic power for a certain character to that thing. Yeah, so basically that's how I played it. What else in the 360 I've been playing? That's pretty much it for the 360, besides a lot of Rock Band. I played over the weekend on Friday night, had another Rock Band night. That was fun. What else here? That was about it for 360. PS3, picked up Devil May Cry 4. I'm at the very last stage, and because of that, I stopped playing. Not because I didn't want to beat it. Well, actually, no, sorry. Not because I wanted to kind of savor it and be like, I don't want to beat this now. Just, I know I'm at the part where you have to replay all the bosses again, and I'm at that, the stupid dice board at the end. You got to roll it and go up the thing. I'm just like, I'm not in the mood to do this right now, so
just
I turn it off.
Remember what I said. You can time the dice roll so that it always lands on what you want it to land on.
Well, this one is kind of different than the first time. Did you beat it yet,
yes.
Chris? Oh, you didn't beat it.
I'll get to that later, but yes, and it does work.
Okay, even for the boss?
For the last stage where you have to fight all the bosses again, mm-hmm. and you're going through the dice board, and with every single like portion of that, with every level of that, I did not run into one encounter, and I never missed the spot that goes to the next level.
Okay.
I basically hit it so that I always hit a blue spot and got orbs, and then I hit the spot that made me go up to the next level.
All right, cool. So I'll give that a try when I do decide to tackle it.
Definitely good.
Yeah, I think it's because I was playing so much God of War, because I was playing God of War 2 on PS2 and, of course, Chains of Olympus. It's just so different going back to Devil May Cry. It's just, I was like, whoa, it was almost as if I had to like relearn Devil May Cry again, even though it has been that long since I was playing it all the time. So that took a bit. I kind of got my ass kicked in my first like big encounter. I was like, what the hell's going on? It's not easy. I should be like whipping through this. But then it just comes down to the timing and everything. So yeah, I'm trying to think of what else. So I actually popped in a little bit of Uncharted again. Started playing that again.
Oh, cool.
I think I'm at the very end of Ratchet & Clank as well. I put that in the other day to start playing again. That's basically it. That's been my week, really.
Wow, you've been playing a lot more than I thought you were.
Yeah, I guess it was kind of a lot. And... Yeah. Oh, no, sorry. I can't. How can I have to talk about this? Yeah, I rented Armia 2.
Oh, nice.
I was like playing that like 10 minutes ago. How can I forget about that? So I went to the store, and they never have Armia 2 in, ever. So I went in there, and they had it in both for 360 and PS3. So I decided to rent it for PS3 because I'm like, yeah, I feel like playing on PS3. So played that for a little bit today, single player. I like it. It's not so much like Gears, everyone says. Everyone's like, oh, it's kind of like Gears of War, where there's not really an actual cover system. At least I haven't figured out how to use it yet. You just kind of just duck behind cover and just move around, kind of peek out or whatnot. It's a little bit more looser feeling than a Gears of War. It just feels kind of just more run and gun, I guess. Only play the first level and, of course, the training levels. But I'll play more this week and let you guys know next week how... what my final verdict on it is, but I don't know. Right now, I couldn't recommend it, buying it, just because nothing has really wowed me yet. It does look good. It has decent graphics. I played a little bit of co-op with BSV from the GLF boards, and again, I don't know if he doesn't have a microphone, if he didn't have it on, or if the game just doesn't have voice chat. I'm pretty sure it does, or maybe my microphone wasn't working, or something was wrong, but we couldn't talk to each other, so I'm not sure if it was because he just didn't have a mic, or if something wasn't working. But you kind of get the idea from the game and how it's designed and what you're supposed to do, what each player should do. So it's kind of cool. We kind of had like visually talking to each other, I guess. Like kind of you take these guys, I'll flank around this side and take these guys out. But we only got to play for about 15 minutes, and then we had to record this. So hopefully he'll be on later, and or someone else if you want to. Neither of you guys have it, right?
No,
not probably yet. Not.
John, one of our buddies, was actually interested in possibly getting it because of the co-op aspect, so I'm interested to see what you say about that after you've been playing it more.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna play through it more on co-op. I think it's one of those games where it's a lot of fun with co-op, whereas single player is kind of maybe fun through once, and then after that you'd probably never touch it again, but any good co-op game can usually keep people's attention for quite a while. So after recording this and for the rest of the week, I'm going to be playing that and see how it is. But then, other than that, that's all I've been playing all week. It's a little bit more than I thought.
Wow. All right. Well, real quick, I played more Rock Band. That's, we talk enough about that. and we already talked about Warhawk a bit when Jason was talking about it. So I think we're done with that. I picked up Burnout Paradise again.
Cool.
Nice.
I don't know if it's just because I haven't played it enough, but I don't know. I don't like the whole open world thing that much. I like the traditional Burnout from 3 and Revenge and stuff. But I'm gonna give it another shot and try and get deeper into the game. Hopefully it'll grab my attention a little bit more. Let's see. 360 Devil May Cry 4, as I said before, I did beat it. I did not restart it because something else grabbed my attention, and I'll get to that in a second. PSP, more Patapon, and that's pretty much it. I think I'm about halfway through the game. I'm really loving it, so I'm gonna keep playing that and try and get through it. DS, more Professor Layton, of course. Let's see. And then I grabbed some stuff on PS2. With all the modifications I've been doing, I got to pop in Nights into Dreams, the remake, and I like it a lot. You know, I didn't really play Knights for Saturn all that much, and you know, I don't know if it's just because I'm a different gamer now, but you know, I'm enjoying it. I only played through like the first stage or so, but because I just did it this morning, but it was, you know, it was fun. And I actually turned on the Saturn mode. I played like through the first stage on PS2 mode, and then switched over and did it on Saturn mode. And
yeah,
I was actually surprised at how well it held up.
Still kind of holds up.
Yeah, it doesn't look good by any means, but it's not like it looks horrible. It's not a pain on my eyes to look at, you know.
Yeah.
The remake itself probably looks comparable to the new Wii version as far as graphically, but all they did was fix the models and the backgrounds and stuff. They didn't like extend the range of your view. In other words, there's still a lot of pop up.
Oh, and a lot of drawing and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of drawing still. But, you know, it doesn't take anything away from the game. It's still Knights, and it's still fun, so there you go. If you have Swap Magic and you're interested in grabbing the game, I suggest it. It's not like there's a lot of Japanese. so there you go. I also picked up Final Fantasy XII, finally.
Nice.
It's been sitting on my shelf for a year and a half now, and I finally popped it in and started playing it. I'm not going to go too much into detail because I'm still at the, you know, I'm still early on. I think I'm at about eight hours in, so I'm not too far. But so far, everything I thought I would hate about this game, I do. and you know, I hate the license board. I think it's retarded.
Yeah.
I'm actually getting to the point where I'm thinking about just popping in my Game Shark and just saying, give everyone 99,999 license points and just get everything on the board so I don't have to worry about it. It's just really annoying, and you know, I'm not a big
fan. It's very annoying.
Let's see. The other thing is that, again, there's only three characters that you can have in your party at any one time, and
yeah,
it drives me nuts. You know, it's like the first Final Fantasy you could have four, the second one four. You know, all the Final Fantasies up to seven you could have four, and then seven they went to three, and that's all it's been. Actually, didn't they switch back to four at nine, or did they keep it?
Four had. Wait, which one had five? Five party members. I think it was four.
Maybe. But yeah, I know that in Final Fantasy IX, they switched back to having four members. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea why they went back to three in part 10.
Yeah.
So, but what really frustrates me about this is that it's not that you can only have three.
Mm-hmm.
It's that you can actually have four if the fourth is an NPC.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And it's so dumb. It's like, okay,
yeah,
fine. I can have four party members when I have an NPC. When I don't have an NPC, why can't I have four party members?
Yeah, because at first I thought it was like maybe a technical limitation where they're like, okay, we just can't display that many things on screen at once or whatnot, but then they throw you those NPC players, and you're like, okay, what the fuck?
Yeah, and it's so, and then it becomes obvious. Well, it's definitely not a technical limitation. You just felt like we didn't want to have four characters at the same time.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I was kind of disappointed in that. Besides that, I mean, I love the combat. You know, the whole MMO style combat really works, believe it or not. They have this gambit system where you can actually set it up so that you can make it so that your party members will do things without having to tell them. So that's cool. And I'm probably saying a bunch of stuff that our listeners already know. It's like, yeah, we've already played this game.
You're like, oh shit, it's been out for a year.
But you know, this is all still new to me. The gambits are really cool, and you know, it's helpful. But you know, besides that, the license board and you know, the whole three party member thing, and your the people in your group that aren't in your party not getting experience points, and I've said that before, and it's just something I think is dumb. So you know,
I think it's really stupid, especially when the story or when games will suddenly be like, okay, now these characters you've been leveling up, they split off, and now you got to use these other characters you haven't been using forcefully, and then they suck ass because you haven't been using them.
Right.
It's like, I hate that. That's like game breaking for me.
Yeah.
It's
one like, of the things. One of the things I think that it's really stupid about the whole entire thing is like there's one. One point in the game, early on, where you go into these mines, and you grab an NPC, and you have four members in your group, and one NPC, so you can have three party members and your NPC. Whenever there's a cutscene, you see all five of them.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to use them all. I don't get it.
What do you think of the story so far and, like, the voice acting and stuff?
Well, the voice acting is pretty top-notch.
Yeah, it is.
Some of the characters are a little emo for me, but, you know, from a gaming standpoint, I think the voice acting is pretty good. Mm-hmm. Let's see. The story itself, I am very surprised that I am enjoying it, because I heard that this game was a lot of political bullshit.
Yeah.
And so far, I'm playing it, and yeah, it is, but it's a story that's actually, it's intriguing to me.
It's so, Star Wars, basically.
Yeah, actually, it kind of is.
It's basically a blatant ripoff of Star Wars.
Yeah, I haven't gotten that deep into it, but yeah, I can see that.
Have you got to the part where you get Balthier and Fran?
Oh, yeah.
Who basically may as well be Han Solo and Chewbacca.
I'm past that part. I'm actually at the part where you're about to get where you had to save what's her name, Pinello.
Mm-hmm.
On
the ship.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I'm not too far after that.
Yeah, I'm on the ship at the very end of the ship. So okay. That's pretty much where I am right now. And I seriously am considering just popping in my Game Shark and saying license points and just pull up the license board and not deal with it.
Exactly where you are is where I screwed up the first time with the license board, didn't have anything, so I kept getting my ass kicked on that ship where you had to fight, like, these five shoulder guys. Two of them are magic, and they were just rape me every time I played. And then I started
Judges?
They weren't judges. They were like kind of like the... I guess they were like mini judges or something. They weren't like one of the... Not like the main judge. Like, you fight a judge at the very end. That's like the boss of that part. But, It's that whole part where you've said you're at the very end of that part, right?
Yeah, I think so.
It's, you walk into a room and they come at you from all sides, and two of them are magicians, and then they have these other guys attacking you. I don't know. You're outnumbered, plus my guys just didn't have enough hit points.
Yeah, so two of them are actually judges.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Then, yeah, that part. They just kept kicking my ass, so I had to start all over again, and now I'm just past that. And same kind of things happening at a different area. I'm like, my guys just aren't strong enough. And I'm like, it's because of the license board, because I didn't do it properly. I'm like, that's just dumb.
Yeah. See, I'm doing it so that, you know, I don't touch the license board until I need to.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, here's a weapon that will increase my, you know, my attack power by 10. I don't have the license for that weapon, so I'm going to go get that license now. And that's pretty much what I've been doing. But, you know. I think it's just a retarded way to do things, and that's it. I'm not going to talk about it anymore.
All right.
But yeah, that's been my week. So not a whole lot, but I did get to beat Devil May Cry, and that actually took up the majority of my week.
Oh, congratulations, Chris.
That's right. I did pick up Lost Odyssey. I just haven't started it yet.
Oh, okay,
cool.
Because I started playing Final Fantasy XII, and I've been going nuts with that. So.
Nice.
All right.
Hey, quick question with Final Fantasy XII. Do you play it on your PS3?
I do.
Do you find that the screen gets cut off a little bit, the top and the bottom?
Cut off?
Yeah. It did. At least I thought it did. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't seem like it does during gameplay. It seems like it's mainly during cutscenes.
Okay. Because I find on mine, I'm not sure it's the settings or not, but it cuts off even in gameplay the very top and the very bottom. So sometimes when I have to read something, it cuts off the bottom line or whatnot.
Yeah, I haven't noticed that.
I've noticed it looks a hell of a lot better on my SDTV than
oh yeah, for sure. It doesn't look good in HD.
See, I'm fine with the way it looks on my HD screen. I haven't had much trouble with it. I put it in widescreen, the upscaling's off. I turn the upscaling's on, and I turn the smoothing off. And I think it looks fine. You know, maybe it's because I haven't actually played it in my PS2.
That's probably why.
Yeah.
keep it at your settings and don't put it into standard def, because you'll be like, wow, it does look better.
Yeah. Very cool. All right. What's going on with news this week?
Very short news week this week. Started off with a Rock Band, got a big update. Did you guys get to check it out yet? There's a now in-game store.
Yeah,
I have not seen it in action yet, but it sounds really cool.
Yeah, I know that Ricky has seen it. And he actually told me that he bought like $15 worth of songs.
Nice.
But yeah, he said that it works really, really well, but he thinks he found a bug in it because he went to download Paramore and ended up downloading something else by accident. And then when he went back to try and download Paramore, it said that he already downloaded it. So he had to go through the PSN store to get it.
Oh, wow.
That's kind of weird. But
was he able to download it again through the PSN store?
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
Okay, good.
Yeah, as long as people don't be getting charged twice, it's all right. Right. Yeah. But for people who don't know, it's just an in-game store now. You can access it through the actual game, not having to go through Xbox Live or PSN. It'll also it'll tell you the song you're downloading, give you a preview. You can now get a preview of the song, which is really cool. And also tells you the difficulty based on the instrument and stuff like that. So if you'll say how hard the song is for guitar, for drums, for bass, for singing.
And I think that is really cool.
That is awesome. So yeah, check that out. You'll probably be prompted if you haven't played Rock Band in a while, which I'm sure all of you guys have been playing it, but once you go online, it'll prompt you for the download, and it's automatic. More downloads, automatic downloads. Both Bully for 360 and Orange Box for PS3 patches are out. So those people who bought Bully and have their systems freezing and some frame rate issues here and there, that's now all fixed up. My neighbor got Bully. He stopped playing it just because I told him there was a patch coming out, so he wanted to wait. So I wonder if he got that. I have to ask him, see if it worked. Orange Box, basically, this is a patch that already came out for the 360 and PC a while ago. It basically patched mostly Team Fortress with problems with lag issues and little bugs here and there. So that's out for PS3 now, so that same patch will fix up some of that.
Good.
Same, sticking with the downloads, Halo 3 map pack, another one, Legendary map pack, was announced, going to be released April 15th for 800 Microsoft points. Gets you another three maps, which is kind of pricey, but one of these maps is a remake of Sidewinder from the original Halo, which is a map that everybody and their grandmother has been asking for in a Halo sequel, because that's one of the best maps that was ever done, ever made, and I don't know why it took Bungie this long to remake it, but it's great, and I can't wait to try it out. And I didn't buy the first map pack, but I'm guessing that when this map pack released on April 15th, the previous one will then be free, because they said that they were going to be free of, they said they're going to go free after a while. Like, they're going to basically be charged, and after a while, they will be free. Well, at least that's what they did with the other ones. They did that with all the other map packs. So what I'm going to do is I'll probably purchase the new one and then get the other ones for free, and to me, it'll feel like paying 800 points for six maps as opposed to three. In my own mindset, anyway. That's how I'll justify it.
Whatever makes you feel better, man.
Exactly. again, downloadable stuff. A leak in the PSN, kind of a PSN release list was found, and they show in this little release list some add-ons for Warhawk, Super Stardust HD.
I heard about this.
Yeah, Ratchet and Clank Tools of Destruction. There's a thing listed in there called Ratchet and Clank something booty. I don't have it in front of me, but Shake Your Booty or something like that.
Something like that.
And people are saying, or they're kind of speculating, that this could possibly be an expansion for Tools of Destruction, which would be kind of cool.
I'd go back and play it.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I'm at the end. I got it.
Yeah, there was something on there about Lair too, and I'm like,
yeah,
really want anything for Lair? I mean,
I don't know. There's something on there for Lair. It's kind of,
it might be the whole left analog stick control or whatever, but
yeah,
you know, I mean, it might be too little, too late.
I think it definitely is too little, too late for that game. And
I mean, I still do want to go back and finish the damn game. I know I'm pretty close, so but whatever.
Well, there's also a couple of interesting things in there, like a Resistance 2 trailer supposed to be hitting in April. Also, they have in this release says Home hitting in July. So, who knows?
It's open.
Sorry? Yeah, exactly. Also, which everyone knew was in development, and people wondered why or how this would work. Guitar Hero was announced for DS as well, with their peripheral that hooks onto it. It's basically a thing that goes into the GBA cartridge slot. It has four buttons, so you're missing out on the orange button, but it's got the others, and you strum with of course the touchscreen, and you guys have seen the picture. It looks kind of awkward. I don't know how it's going to be comfortable or not.
I saw the video, the trailer that they did. I just,
yeah,
not my thing. I mean, it's like, whatever. It's you're the whole, I mean, I don't know, I just don't like it at all.
Would you play that in public? That's all I gotta say.
It's not even that. It's like it just doesn't look like it would be comfortable. You know, because you're holding the screen sideways and trying to strum, and you know your hand's gonna get one hand's gonna get in the way of the other, and I don't know, it just doesn't look
good
for me.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, the whole idea of Guitar Hero is to have like a basically kind of close to a real size guitar, or at least air guitar, and rock out. And if you see someone rocking out with your DS, you're gonna look like a fucking tool.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm sure people will, but I mean, it's gonna sell shit.
The air guitar, which I actually saw those on sale at Walmart today. The other day. I don't know.
The thing we said about, we talked about on the CES show.
Yeah. They're actually for sale in retail stores. I'm like,
that's fine.
That's hilarious.
But it's going to sell a lot. It's on the DS and it's got the Guitar Hero brand, so it's going to sell a shitload. What's next? Like Rock Band, little mini drum kit. I'd buy it.
Okay. Yeah, I'd buy it.
Sucker. All right.
Rock Band DS.
And last but definitely least, we've all been waiting. We've been waiting for this game forever. We all really loved this game, this Oblivion Wannabe Two Worlds. You know that expansion we announced a while back. We said in news how there is expansion coming.
The one that who gave a shit. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? This is even better because that expansion is now going to be turned into a full blown sequel.
Oh boy!
So Temptation no longer a expansion. It's going to be a full blown sequel.
Really?
Yeah, what do we think about that, guys? That's
okay. Who gives a shit? Wow,
where is that? This is dumb. Sorry, BSV. I don't like that game. Sorry, Necro. I don't like that game.
To me, it just sounds like it's going to be an expansion, but they're going to charge full price for it.
Pretty much, yeah.
What's up, Rainbow Six Vegas 2?
Oh,
yeah.
Zing.
Not that I don't like Rainbow Six Vegas. Looks awesome. Haven't played it yet, but from what I've been hearing from friends who own the game, they're basically saying it.
Can you say Vegas for me again?
Vegas.
Okay. All right. I'm just sorry. I kept hearing something else a couple times, and I'm like, oh.
Oh, all right, weird. Go ahead. Proceed. You're making fun of my Canadian accent.
No. I was just like, oh my God, Jeff. That's really crude. I can't believe you'd say that about homosexuals. I'm like, just because they play Rainbow Six doesn't mean that they, you know, like their own sex.
That's funny.
Wow. All
right. Yeah, basically, people say it's pretty much it's Rainbow Six Vegas, but with a little bit of additions. I say it again. All right, well, either way, that's it for news, guys. Vegas.
Cool. Thank you.
Ooh. All right,
well, before we go to break real quick,
yeah,
I forgot to say this while I was saying my distractions for the week, but I have to say, and I have to say I'm very, very proud of my fiancée, Crystal. Because she beat Heavenly Sword.
Wow.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It only took her, like, you know, 4 months or so, but you know, she did get through it.
Cool.
She just said she hated me, so that's good.
She all embarrassed and stuff.
No, she got through it, you know, and it's not, she's not huge into the action games genre. So to actually pick up this game that she's never really played anything like it and to get through the entire game, it's you know, I was impressed.
Good for her.
That is impressive. Congratulations.
Cool. All right. Well, why don't we take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about video game movies, and we'll do new releases and emails and the new question of the week.
They're good.
Sounds good. All right. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back.
All right. It's time to wake up.
We didn't have anything to put in the spot that was new. So, I'll leave you with this.
Chocolate meat.
That is all. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Thanks for sticking around.
I didn't have a choice, Chris.
Well, you don't. People listening do. Hopefully they're still listening. Let's see, this week we decided we wanted to talk about movies that were made from video games.
Basically. Why the hell not?
Why the hell not? So, especially considering there's a new one coming out pretty soon.
What's that?
Postal.
I've heard of that one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You know, I read a description about it, and I'm actually somewhat interested in seeing it.
I gotta say, it does kind of look funny.
Yeah. I saw
it. Going to hell.
Okay.
All right, he's back.
I am back.
We've been like doing the show and shit.
Are you serious?
We didn't know that you were gone.
We didn't hear you say you left. So
I'm like, all right, welcome back. All right, I'm gonna give it a few seconds. I'm like, okay.
Well, hell, I'm leaving this shit in. This is awesome.
So you guys had no idea I was gone.
No, we didn't hear you say that you were going to be gone for a minute.
I was like, hold on, guys. And then I thought one of you guys said okay, but I guess you were saying okay to something Jason said or something.
Well, Jeff, now that you're back, and the listeners have now heard the Jeff introduction of picking up the headphones.
Dun, 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 dun.
Awesome. All right, cool.
That is Jeff's grand entrance.
That's
there.
Right.
I love
it.
It's tradition. It's usually we'll add him to the call, and you see call connected, and then you hear, and he comes on. It's like hey or word. all right. Well, thanks for that.
How I do.
Well, we were all
right,
talking about Postal, and there was a little advertisement they did, and I can't remember the dude's name. I don't know what the politically correct term is. And
he's a midget.
He's a midget. Since we're not really politically correct on this show anyway.
We mean well.
Yeah, we mean
well. I thought of that as Lisa one time. I don't know. Oh, shit, I shouldn't say that.
No,
she doesn't think her words
now,
through. She doesn't think her words through sometimes. She just kind of, you know, rambles. And she's mm-hmm. like, you know, midgets, you know, they're just like real people.
They're just like real people. They're almost like humans.
Yeah. She caught herself and she felt terrible. But oh, that's my girl.
Yeah. Which I'm a Vern Troyer, right?
Yeah, I think that's him.
Okay. What about him?
But he had this little
he's a midget.
Video where he was dressed up as Indiana Jones and...
Oh, yeah.
Like, we're going to whip his ass or something like that. I was like, all right, whatever. I know that I'm going to see Indiana Jones, not you.
You know, I have to give him credit. You know, there's no possible way in hell they're going to beat out, you know, Indiana Jones. But...
Oh, no, but this is a publicity stunt.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a publicity stunt.
It's a joke.
I got to give the guy credit for, you know, self-deprecating humor and, yeah, you know, not taking himself too seriously. You know, that's cool. So, good on him.
Well, cool.
Ebola is saying this is the best movie he's ever done.
Well, that wouldn't be hard, would it?
Yeah.
It's a play in the odds. I mean,
yeah,
something's going to be better than his last crap. Come on.
Now, when we were doing our little research on this, Jason sent me a wiki page of like all the movies that were made from games, and every single one, I'm like looking down the list. And I was like, oh, you know, Resident Evil. All right, that was good. I was like, I didn't know they made a House of the Dead movie. And I click on it, and it's Uwe Boll. I'm like,
you have to see it. It's so bad.
Of course it is.
It is so terrible. Seriously, it's hilarious.
What was the other one? Alone in the Dark. I didn't know they made an Alone in the Dark movie. Click on it.
Yeah, Uwe Boll.
Oh,
first.
Look at that.
Christian Slater. Yeah. That I have
Slater
not seen that
it?
One.
Yeah, yeah, and Tara so. Reid.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's cool.
All-star cast.
Well, I'm going to give a point to Jason on this one. So, Jason,
I'll take it and run with it. I'm just going to start off with an email here real quick. This is from Aces High. He says, I believe that movies based from video games can, in fact, be good. Sure, there are some downright shitty ones. Cough, cough, Uwe Boll. But still, I thought the Resident Evil movies were well made and somewhat stuck to the general idea of the games. Plus, with the recent release of Hitman, I can say I will definitely would like to see that franchise evolve. So can movies based on video games be total crap? Yes, but they can also be a diamond in the rough if done correctly.
So is Very he true. Saying he liked the Hitman movie?
Yeah,
I think so.
Like it, yeah.
Oh, it was so bad.
Was it?
Was it really bad?
Oh, it was terrible. I thought I had high hopes for it. I'm like, yeah, it actually looks pretty decent, but it's as a movie, it's very bad. I mean, it's entertaining. It's got like a lot of action in it and stuff, and it's kind of violent, but as an actual movie... Like the character development, there's none of it. The story's almost incomprehensible. It's just all over the place. But
is it really?
It's entertaining for the action, but that's basically, in my opinion, that's the only redeeming quality it really had.
Yeah, and that seems to be kind of a running theme, is that, you know, that the action's done very well, and there's a huge focus on that, you know, in games such as this, you know, which makes sense because, you know, video games are a medium that, you know, are very much action based, you know.
Yeah.
So,
but some movies like Resident Evil series are terrible because they don't even. Like, I don't mind I'll go into my theory when we get to that point, but basically they kind of took Resident Evil, the game, which is a slow-moving game, scary, and turned into kind of like a high, now it's like a high action, like high octane.
Like, yeah, threw in some, like, you know, techno soundtrack.
Like techno soundtrack. It's got Mila Jovovich and, like, Matrix type animation and, what's that called? Bullet Time kind of crap.
Yeah, Bullet Time stuff.
It's not even a reflection of the games anymore. It's just like, all right, slap Resident Evil on air, throw Mila Jovovich in some skimpy outfit, and have her kick some ass.
Well, and that's true.
If it makes you feel better, the next Resident Evil is not going to have Mila in it.
All right.
The main character is... I do, too. I am a big Mila fan, and I'm very upset that you said you didn't like him, because it's Mila, and it's boobies, and that's all you need. I mean, come on, but you're right. I mean, it doesn't really follow the games very much, and it is a big difference in tone as far as, like, the high action, high impact type of movie that you're seeing in Resident Evil compared to the slower moving, like, really suspenseful game that it is. So, yeah, you're right. And plus, the Alice character, was there an Alice character at all in any of them? I'm pretty sure there wasn't.
Not that I recall.
Okay.
I haven't seen the last one yet, the most recent one.
Yeah. But, you know, there's still chunks in there. You know, Jill's in there, the whole Nemesis Project and all that other stuff. God. So, they're doing what they can. You know, they're making movies based on a concept as opposed to the actual
Ridiculous concept to begin with. So,
yeah.
So while there was the underlying, base story, it was kind of a ridiculous, incredible one, So it's easy to play around with that, I think. You're not going to have people crying, up in arms that, that's an inaccurate portrayal of the Umbrella Corporation.
Yeah.
There probably are people out there like that.
I wouldn't doubt it.
And they're sad people.
I just don't know where the writers and stuff get, like, they want to base it on the game, they have to pull some points from the game, but then just totally fuck it up in the end. Like, you could have, Day of the Dead could have been, or the Dawn of the Dead remake could have just, slapped Resident, if that was a Resident Evil movie, it would have been way better.
Well, let's talk about that, because George Romero, who did, Of the Dead, series, was contracted initially to write the script, and there was a script that was leaked out, for the first Resident Evil movie. They scrapped it and obviously went the
Paul Anderson,
high octane action packed variation that we see now, which in effect wasn't that bad. I did like it alongside Chris.
The first one?
The first one.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. It was the best out of the three of what I've heard.
I've actually liked all three. So
I've fallen asleep twice in part two, so I haven't even gotten through it.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I've actually liked all three, and although at the end of part three. It's not that it leaves you hanging for a sequel. It's that it makes it feel like half a movie. It really does. And, the movie's good. I'm not going to say it's not a good movie, because I thought it was good. But it's just like, there's no closure on anything. It basically says, hey, here's two different storylines where it could go. And then it ends the movie. And it's like, well, fuck, what's going on?
Yeah, that kind of bugs me.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say, because Paul Anderson did the first and the third, I think. Is that what he did? I'm not sure if he actually directed the second one, but he might have had something to do with it. But Paul Anderson's, I think his first video game to movie was Mortal Kombat, which I didn't think was that bad. The first one. That was probably one of the best movies when they take kind of traits and important aspects of the game and threw it in there, and it was somewhat entertaining and not over the top cheesy. Like, the second one was just god awful, but
Mortal Kombat, you mean?
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought this up, because you know what I did like about Mortal Kombat? They kept it what Mortal Kombat is. It was still a tournament.
Yeah.
True. And that's important. It's like the Street Fighter movie. They turned it into something incredibly bad. I mean, it was just like, it has nothing to do with anything. And
that was painful. That was very painful.
Yeah, I didn't even watch the whole thing. It was too painful for me to get through. I mean, it's pretty much who they cast for Guile was enough. Like, oh my god, Guile is an American!
Yeah. You know, I saw that opening day, too. Oh, jeez.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was on Christmas, too.
Oh, you wasted your Christmas for that.
I saw Mortal Kombat opening day, but not Street Fighter.
Actually, I saw Mortal Kombat opening day, too, I think.
Yeah. Actually, that was one of my best movie theater experiences ever. I just remember the theater was packed. They actually had to bring in like more seats because they sold too many tickets, I guess, somehow within the theater. Yeah, and it was just everyone was so hyper, and every time a new character was on screen, everyone went nuts. It was pretty awesome.
Wow.
But I do agree with you that part two was bad.
Oh, it was terrible. That was one where they tried to do too much like the game. They tried to bring in like every character, and a character show up for like maybe 2 minutes of screen time, and they just throw them in there for no reason whatsoever.
But some of the scenes were really good, I have to say. I loved the Sub-Zero scene.
Oh, yeah. When
in two, right? Was that in two or one?
That was two, yeah.
Oh, I loved the Sub-Zero scene. I loved the Scorpion scene.
Which Sub-Zero scene are you talking about?
The Sub-Zero scene where he dies pretty stupidly, though. Basically gets a bucket of water thrown at him or something. Isn't that what happened?
Oh, that's the first one.
Is that the first one?
Yeah, that's the first one. Sub-Zero in the second one, it's Sub-Zero from Sub-Zero 3.
So he doesn't have the mask. Oh, right. It's the one without the mask.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You're right. Never mind. I was talking about part one. So yeah, part one is good. Part two is bad.
Yeah, two is terrible.
All right, we've got another email from BitchBig, the Sal.
Hey, BitchBig.
Movies and games. My problem with this is simple. They're two completely different mediums. Absolutely correct. The way a story is told in a game is always much different than the way it's told in a movie. To the best of my immediate memory, that immediate translation has never worked in either direction. It either comes across as cheesy, in the vein of Mortal Kombat, or a game that is purely in existence to showcase the movie, like Lord of the Rings: Two Towers. Please don't confuse this for when a world. I'm sorry. Please don't confuse this for when a world is borrowed. The Lord of the Rings Online or Star Wars: The Force Unleashed are examples of the borrowing of a universe that incorporates much of the actual lore and less of the verbatim story. That's a much different type of translation. The best video game movies, in my opinion, have always been the ones that utilize games rather than steal from them. The Wizard and King of Kong, albeit a documentary, are good examples of this. Keep making them, and I'll keep listening. The sound. Excellent points.
Yeah.
That's my big thing, is I don't think a game movie will ever make everybody happy. Because when you're playing a video game, it has hours upon hours to, you know, to tell the story and that you're enacting it. And when you're going to a movie, you're gonna have like 2.5 to 3 hours. And the game is usually aren't even that long. And I think fans, they want more of the same experience that they get from the video game, which is pretty much impossible.
And that, yeah, that's what they want to do.
Yeah, exactly. And they throw all this stuff into a movie, make it like 1.5 to 2 hours long. And fans will either be like, yeah, it's not like the game, which obviously it can't be because they're going to have to cut a lot of stuff. Or they say it's too much like the game and it's just ridiculous. It doesn't make sense as a movie. Like Doom, for instance, people complain like about movies not being too much like the game. They throw in a 4-minute or 5-minute scene where it's first-person perspective.
Yeah.
You guys have seen the movie, right?
I've seen that part actually, and that's all I can pretty much do.
Yeah, I couldn't get through the whole damn movie. I mean, it's bad enough that it's The Rock.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Well, I actually didn't mind that one as much as the other ones, but it's just an example of when they tried to, you know what, let's just try to make it look like the game because that's what the gamers want, is more of that experience in that world, I guess. But it just can't really happen. And to me, I think if they're going to do something like that, they should do the opposite of Chronicles of Riddick.
Mm-hmm.
The movie was, it wasn't a great movie, but instead of the game they made about it wasn't about that movie. It was about the same kind of universe, same character, but it's actually a prequel. And that actually made the game really, really good. I wish they did that more. I wish they took that route when going from video games to movies, where they could just take the universe, take whatever, make a totally different storyline, but have certain things in it, but stay kind of loosely based on the game, but just use kind of maybe even same characters, but just kind of stray totally away from the game. Like, if they ever made a Halo movie, I wouldn't even want it to be about Master Chief, because watching Master Chief walk around would be boring.
I got to say, because I think that's what people mostly bitch about is, you know, that that does happen an awful lot, that it deviates from that storyline. Like, it's still set in the same universe or same characters, but it's completely different. And that's what people are pissed off about.
That's the thing. It's like, what do people want, though? Do they want the exact same story they got in the video game? Because if they did, just play the game again. And, like, why would you want to see that again on the big screen? Like, okay, let's see what the same story retold. That's there's got to be, like, fans have to make up their mind. Do they want the same thing on the big screen, which to me is pointless, or something totally different that they're just going to bitch about that it's not like the game? That's why I think there'll never be this happy medium.
There's no, like, happy medium. Yeah.
Well, there's been a couple. I mean, I think that what, you know, the whole thing of the borrowing the universe thing, translating into movies, that's what they do with Tomb Raider, if you ask me.
Yeah, sure.
I thought the Tomb Raider movies were good, personally, so I don't know about you guys, but I was happy with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not cool. Like they tried to do too much from the game. You know, they kept Laura and all of her badassness, and, you know, then they put Angelina Jolie in there, which made it even better. And, you know, it feels like it's a Tomb Raider, but it's not modeled after any one of the games. It's in just in that universe.
Mm-hmm.
And they're making a movie in that universe. Resident Evil, it's kind of in that universe, but kind of taking things from the game. So it's kind of a mix of both, and it really depends on the person whether you think they found the happy medium or not.
Yeah. You know?
And then there's other movies where, you know, they may have taken a different direction and it just didn't work at all.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it really depends. I think Tomb Raider is something where it's easy to do that, because you can make a movie just another episode of her life and her story.
Yeah. I think that's the best way that it should be done. The best way it can be done, anyway.
And I would agree. I mean, I think
that's the easiest way. You know, if you've got a loose storyline to begin with, you know, you can, you know, just take that and fill it in however you deem necessary and make an actual decent movie out of it, as opposed to staying to a strict doctrine, as opposed to, you know, having this very lengthy storyline and lengthy history and having to try and pack that into a 2-hour movie. That's tough to do.
There are some games that should never even be attempted to be translated into movies.
Agreed.
Dead or Alive.
For instance, I didn't see that and I don't want to.
Oh, you have to.
You're missing out, Chris. You're missing out.
It's
well,
good.
I was actually moving more towards Final Fantasy.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, something with a rich storyline. Right.
Yeah. I mean, Final Fantasy there's a lot of lore in Final Fantasy that's reused. Where none of the games are really, none of the numbered sequels are a continuation of any other.
Not a direct, yeah.
Right. There's no direct continuation. There's still a lot of, you know, things that happen in each one that you recognize from others. Like, there's always a guy named Sid.
Yeah.
You know,
it's always Chocobos, or, you know, more recently Moogles
and stuff like that. Yeah. And, you know, Final Fantasy Spirits Within was just
that bad. Was just, they shouldn't have called it Final Fantasy. That's what the biggest problem was. That was something that they did not relate to the game at all.
Exactly. I think there was a guy named Sid, and that was it.
Yeah, there was a guy named Sid. What's weird about that one is that it actually took place on Earth. You know, just in a distant future, whereas all the other ones, you know, were just a completely different. You know,
it was just completely different universes, and it doesn't. And it was, you know, it just didn't work at all.
And it was more science fiction more than anything.
Yep.
And on that note, have you guys seen Advent Children?
I have not seen it all.
And what do you think?
Oh, I loved it. I thought that was done, very well. You know, it was fan service too. You know, anybody who was, you know, over the top, you know, huge in love with Final Fantasy VII. I was for a long time. I wasn't that into it, or at least I'm not that into it now. But still, you know, some of the CG in there is just amazing.
Oh.
But if you're fans of those characters, you know, they do, you know, like I said, a lot of great fan service.
Yeah.
See, I saw parts of it because I actually saw it before it was released in Japanese with subtitles.
Uh-huh.
And it was really, really late. It was like literally 1-2 o'clock in the morning. And I pretty much was in and out the entire time. So I haven't seen the whole thing yet.
Okay.
But I know that there's not enough Yuffie in it. Because Yuffie was always my favorite character. And from what I understand, she's not in the game, in the movie for very long.
She's not. Right. She doesn't have a big role.
Mm-hmm.
But
Yeah, it's again. Yeah. That's like one where it's total fan service. They base it in the same universe, yeah. Same characters, but
different story.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a continuation of the story, which is cool.
That movie seems to be like a love or hate movie too. People either love it or like it, and or they just totally hate it.
Oh, really? Yeah,
they were talking about it on Retronauts actually this past week.
Yeah,
and I don't remember who was going off, but they were going off because like. You know, Tifa is a little 98-pound girl, and she gets knocked through a wall and just gets up and dusts herself off and goes to fight again. And I'm like,
for fuck's sake, it's anime.
It's like just it's common knowledge that any 98-pound chick can get blown through a wall and get up and start fighting again. Come on,
happens all the time.
Absolutely.
Our video games would be extremely boring if they were based in fact and realism and science.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, that's exactly the point. It's based in an anime-ish setting, and that's just the way that setting works. And I thought that I was like, well, that wouldn't bother me at all because that works for that setting.
And that's where I think a lot of the disconnect happens, where a lot of bad movies are made, because in video games you can get away with all that stuff, and people say it's a video game. And these days now, when you go to a movie, people criticize a movie for being too unrealistic.
True.
And if they're going to take a game that's totally over the top and unrealistic and try to translate to a movie, that's not going to get the movie audience at all. You'll get the hardcore video game crowd who want to see the movie. But after that, it's basically, that's a shitty movie. That would never happen in real life. That's just too fake. Yeah. It's like you get that cynical film crowd. And that's where I think one of the major disconnects happens, because you just can't. It's just it's a medium, two different mediums, like the South said, or Bitch Pit, but vastly different mediums where different audiences like different things.
Yeah, that's well,
he brought, it's he a main brought up point something we're trying else. To drive home. Mm-hmm. He brought up something else that we haven't touched on yet.
What's that? The documentaries? Or?
Well, the video games that utilize the games rather than the actual universes of the games, like The Wizard and King of Kong.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know about you guys, but growing up, The Wizard was one of my favorite movies.
Oh, I really liked it.
Same here.
I was really young, but I mean, I mm-hmm. liked it. I haven't seen it in like 20 years, at least.
Well, my favorite thing about that movie was just that it was so cheesy, but it's like, yeah, well, keep your power gloves off her, man. And I was like, oh god,
it was a glorified commercial. Damn,
that was
oh come on, definitely. Yeah. Transformers was a glorified GM commercial, but doesn't make it any less of a good movie.
No. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think some of my favorite, video game-related movies are ones that are just based on general universes. Like you said, The Wizard. The Sal mentioned King of Kong. It was a great documentary. There are also some really, really old, cheesy ones that I remember, like Arcade. I don't know if you guys remember that. It had Edward Furlong in it, I think.
It's like that happens
to fame. Yeah. At that time, everything was – anything that had to do with VR, virtual reality was automatically associated with video games. There were lots of movies out,
There's one that's mentioned a lot, and that's Tron. And
I love Tron.
Well, I love Tron too, but the thing I never can remember is which came first, the movie or the game.
Yeah, I was trying to figure that out earlier too.
Because I always thought the movie came first.
I think so too. That's what I think.
I can't remember. I should look it up since I'm sitting in front of my computer.
Another one that I really wanted to mention was The Last Starfighter.
Oh, yeah.
That was, I would love to do that, And a lot of my fantasies were centered around.
It's every gamer's dream.
Yeah, exactly.
It totally is.
Jeff, have you seen that one?
I have, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, great. What do we do now?
Yeah, it's been years. It's been years. I remember that movie scaring me the first time I saw the alien. I was like, that was my scream.
We lost Jeff.
With that whole disconnect thing too, like, what about a movie that isn't based on a video game? A game isn't based on it, but played out like a video game on the screen, which I really like this movie. And a lot of people I know who like video games really like this movie. But people who like movies didn't like this movie, and that was Shoot 'Em Up. Did you guys see that?
I'm not familiar with that one. Huh?
I have not seen it yet, but it is on my queue.
Rent Shoot 'Em Up. I actually really liked it. It's over the top craziness, just ridiculousness. Like the main character kills people with carrots at times, and it's just It reminded me of a video game watching it. I was like, this would be a cool game. Like, if you could do all this cool shit to people and what he's doing. But it's the same kind of thing. Like, people I know who are big into movies didn't like it, but people who like gaming really liked it, and it's not even based on a game. But they just kind of went, you know what? It was almost like the director or whoever wrote it was like, I want to make a video game, but I can't, so I'm going to make my video game idea into a movie.
because that's cheaper.
Yeah, of course.
It's weird.
Well, real quick, just to revisit, Tron Deadly Discs. The initial, Tron. Let me think. Where is it? It is the first of three Intellivision games based on the Disney motion picture Tron.
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah,
the movie came first. We were right.
Okay. Well, good deal. All right. Hey, I've got a voicemail, by the way. Do you guys want to hear it?
Oh, yeah.
Yay, voicemail.
Do you guys know who it's from?
No.
I do. I don't even think they mentioned it.
This is from Crystal. Chris has sex with her.
So I'm hoping that's his fiance.
I thought I'd go ahead and answer the question of the week. How do you feel about video games turned into movies? I have to say that in general, I'm rather fond of them, though this may be in part due to the fact that I've not played most of the games that they turn into movies. However, I have read a lot of books and comics that were turned into movies, and I have to say that the most important thing to do when facing such a situation is to look at them as two separate entities. You can't compare the movie version and the game version for two reasons. The first is that video games are more centered on action. You don't get the focus on characterization and storyline in video games. Gamers are generally more concerned with mechanics and graphics and action than they are with written development. Which leads to the second reason. Video game writing is terrible in general.
What?
Now, there are a few games out there with good storylines and good characters, but for the most part, the dialogue is enough to make me cringe. And a movie needs good characters and good dialogue and good plotline because few people want to go see a movie that's just action. So yeah, in the end, I love them. I love Resident Evil, even if it's, from what I've read, nothing like games. The movies are brilliantly written, and Alice is a fantastic character. I love Silent Hill, too, though it's certainly not a movie to watch at midnight release or right before you go to bed, unless you enjoy violent dreams. So I guess that's it. Keep up the good work, guys.
Will do. All right. Thanks, Crystal. Yes, that is Chris's fiance, by the way.
Hey, guys, this is Crystal, and I thought...
Damn it. That's it. I said that to not to replay. Damn it. Well, I'm plugging.
That's okay. We forgive you.
All right.
It's all right. I agree.
Yeah.
And that's all we have to say about that. No.
Correct.
But then again, she is an example of, I guess, kind of opposite, where she doesn't play too many of the games and actually enjoys the movies, so that's kind of... Right. But I don't know if I'd believe that Resident Evil is brilliantly written. I don't know about that.
True.
Compared to other game movies?
Oh, yeah. Compared to other big game movies, then, yeah, most likely.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't say that they're as well written as, like, the Tomb Raider movies. But I think the Tomb Raider movies are probably... I mean, I think the Tomb Raider movies are probably the best example of that I can think of a movie made from a video game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of... I mean, now, she did mention... Silent Hill, and that's one that we haven't visited yet. And I loved that movie.
Yeah, I thought that adaptation was done pretty well too.
It was, and it was. I mean, there were. I mean, I haven't played any of the Silent Hill games, so I'm not. I don't know for a fact, but from what I understand, it does pretty well relating to the game itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good one where, you know, you mentioned before where it just kind of takes the world, you know, and creates kind of a new story inside of it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that movie up until the very end when it got really hard for me to bear.
Some freaky shit going on, Chris.
Yeah, there was some crazy stuff at the very end. And I not many people know this about me, but I am okay with blood and guts and gore and all kinds of stuff. But if it has something to do with...
He's a bedwetter.
If it has something to do with like sharp objects or blades,
yeah, I get cringy with that.
Going into flesh, yeah. I have a problem with that. I don't know what it is, but I have to. Sometimes I just there's nothing I can do. I just have to turn my head.
That dude, that's exactly like me, especially in Rambo movies and shit.
Yeah, well, you know, Rambo doesn't bother me much because it's so over the top.
Yeah.
But, like, the scene at the very end of Silent Hill that had to do with barbed wire?
I haven't seen it.
Too much for me. Too much for me.
Yeah.
So, if you see it, you'll know what part I'm talking about when you get there.
It's not pleasant. Yeah, I don't know. The really, really gory stuff I don't care for either. I used to be more into it, I guess. But I think now that I've evolved as a movie watcher, I don't know.
I actually just the
really graphic stuff I don't think is really necessary, like the torture porn stuff and like Saw. And I know this is kind of off topic, but I like things that are more implied. You know,
that
they don't actually show it again.
Yeah, I agree. I like that better. One movie that I never thought was gory until I actually watched it with someone who had never seen it and wasn't into gory stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Predator.
Mm. Really?
Yeah.
You know, because the thing about it is like when it comes to like bullet gore, when it has to do with guns and stuff, I don't really think about it that much. But you know, like there's this scene where Mac is climbing through the trees on his back, and the Predator is standing over there, and he shoots him in the head, and you know the blood hits the camera, and the person I was sitting there watching the movie was like, "Oh my God, that's the most horrible!" And I'm thinking,
but it's just blood on the camera, right?
I'm like, it doesn't. I never really thought about it as gory until I sat down and watched it with her. I was like, oh, well, sorry, it doesn't bother me any.
Yeah, people hung from trees, skinned, isn't gory at all.
I just never thought about it that way.
Well, you know, I don't know. So back to Crystal's email, though. She raises the point again, you know, the two completely different mediums. It's very hard to compare and contrast. I don't think that all video games are based around that. I don't think all video games are action based. You know, as she was kind of implying, you know, that gamers are more concerned about mechanics and whatnot. I think some people are genuinely attracted to a game storyline, and
I would agree with that. But you know, generally, the it's not this. You know, okay. Here's an example.
Mm-hmm.
Xenogears.
Yeah,
I could not finish that game because it was 45 minutes of story followed by 10 minutes of gameplay. And I was like, I want to play the game. I don't want to read the game.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of where it is. And that's why I never got into the Xeno Saga. Uh-huh. It's like I heard it was the same general concept. It's 45 minutes of dialogue and then like 15 minutes of gameplay. And then it's another half hour of dialogue. And it's like, I don't care. I don't want to. I want to play the game.
Well, in defense of, you know, Xenogears, it wasn't nearly as bad as it was in the Xenosaga series. Those were very definitely, yeah, just intensely CG-based cutscenes.
Yeah, I've heard
The first one, you know, very familiar RPG, you know, JRPG combat system, you know, but there was a really good storyline of that. That's one of my favorite RPGs of all time. I played the hell out of that one. So maybe I am one of those people that look more towards, you know, the storyline and the overall experience and the aesthetics. The presentation.
Well, you did say you love Metal Gear.
Yeah.
It's all about watch a movie for 40 minutes, play the game for 5.
Oh, I disagree with that.
Yeah, there's some great gameplay in Metal Gear.
I disagree with that. I think Metal Gear is definitely mostly gameplay.
No. You could, if you were to skip every dialogue.
You can burn through it pretty quick.
You would burn through it really quick, like a couple few hours. The first Metal Gear, I bet you could probably complete in a couple hours if you skipped all the cutscenes.
First Metal Gear Solid, right?
Yeah. There's just so long. Like, that's why I didn't get through 3, is because I watched, literally, in the first 3 hours of Metal Gear Solid 3, go back and play it again, you play for about 15 minutes, and the rest are cutscenes, or talking over that codec thing, or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
The first 3 hours, you barely do anything. I'm just like, oh my God, I can't do this.
The codec stuff, it's tough to go through a second time. But if you're into the storyline the first time, I don't know.
I don't mind. I'm just saying it's just mostly cinematics over gameplay, and people say, "Oh, it'd be so cool if they made a Metal Gear Solid movie." I'm like, "They've already made 3."
Touche. All right, I got you there. All right, I'm gonna keep going on with emails here. I've got one from Nabo. Is that? Is he a first time writer? I don't think so.
I don't think he's ever written this before.
Sounds like a big douchebag though.
Nava writes, games and movies, movies and games. Done separately, they suck, but together, are they lame? I think that's how I wrote it.
Oh, God.
Well, in all honesty, I really could care less about the fact that some people think they suck. I watched the Tomb Raider films, the Doom movie, etc., and on the whole, it's a decent flick, or they're a decent flick. Not a great movie, like Good Will Hunting, or anything, but it wasn't retarded. Excellent. And then for some fucking reason, we have the Street Fighter film, Mortal Kombat film, DOA, and other random ass shit. It frustrates me that gaming movies have this moniker as bad movies. But in all honesty, I don't think it's the whole story. Why don't we include comic book films like Spider-Man, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Iron Man, X-Men, etc.? The reason I say this is because you can't really separate comic books from video gaming because they really do go hand in hand. No, they don't.
No, I disagree with that. Close. Comic book is still telling of a story. And so with video games, but you're not playing a comic book. You still have to, like, you're not interacting at all.
Yeah, it's completely different. I can, maybe what he's saying is just like the age group, perhaps?
I don't know. I can see what he's saying, because, I mean, the same kind of thing could be said for comic book to movie transitions, whether they're good or bad. Yeah. But why we don't talk about that is because this is a gaming podcast.
I like comics. I do read a lot of comics, and I always have, but, yeah. I
think there's a more solid story to follow behind comic books anyway, so it's, I don't think it's something that can really be compared in this situation.
No. And we can get on that whole thing, like it'll be like a whole different discussion, but same problems that we see in gaming to movies happens in comic book to movies too, because comic book stories are told throughout like issues upon issues of comic books.
And they've got reboots of the entire scene. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, exactly. And then you get bullshit like Spider-Man 3,
yeah,
where they try and jam tons and tons of shit into 2 hours, and it's just a...
Well, yeah, it was basically... Spider-Man 3 was basically the same thing as Batman, the third Batman movie, where they just threw in, like, too many villains and...
That was for the fourth one, happened. Right?
Yeah. Oh, I did not like that movie.
Batman Forever, I think it was, yeah.
Batman I'm not talking Forever. About that one.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Batman Forever wasn't horrible?
Yes, it was.
It wasn't as horrible as Batman and Robin was.
No.
Batman and Robin was beyond horrible.
But yeah,
they're both bad.
Yeah, I don't for sure.
I don't want to argue about how bad one is over the other.
Because gaming licenses are getting picked up left, right, and center by movie.
True.
Probably there's going to be a Gears of War movie. There's like even movies that I mean games that I would never even think of people would want to get the license. I've got license for, and I can't think of examples off the top of my head. But I remember just a few.
Didn't someone grab the no shit? Didn't someone grab the license for Katamari Damacy?
Yes, that was one of them, exactly. Like,
I was like,
why?
What the hell are you going to do with that?
Mm-hmm.
You know what it boils down to, though? Is Hollywood is running out of ideas.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. And, yeah, and the gaming, it seems like the big games that get movies made after them, they make a pretty decent amount on opening weekend, and that they kind of just fizzle away. So I guess they kind of make the movies for cheap, throw them out there, get their money, work on the next one.
Yeah.
That's what Uwe Boll does.
Where does that man get all his money? I don't get it.
Government.
All right, last email of the feature is from Ricky Duty. He says, movies based on games, and I can visualize him like scratching his goatee. You know, I did enjoy a few. Resident Evil 1, Silent Hill, DOA. Granted, to enjoy DOA, you have to expect cheesiness.
Yes.
And if you're expecting that, it's a great flick. A bunch of boob and ass shots, which is hilarious, and chicks fighting. If you go the other way around and talk about games based on movies, I think the best game ever will be The Warriors. Hey, that's cool. Followed by GoldenEye. I think that's it. Hey, at least I wrote. Good job.
Yeah, we missed him last week.
Dude, I gotta say, I absolutely loved the DOA movie. I really, really
I liked it. It was good. The only thing I didn't like about it was they totally made Ryu Hayabusa look like a pussy. Not a pussy, but just like a badass ninja. And I mean, you got Ninja Gaiden, which is an amazing game. He's such a badass. And then in this movie, they make him. I honestly thought he wasn't gonna be in the movie. So I was like, they can't. I'm like, it's this cheesy. How can they? They can't ruin him like that. And apparently, Itagaki is really protective of his creations, and I don't know how he let this movie get out there.
I don't know how that passed,
In cheesiness. But I mean, yeah, if you're expecting cheesy action and like tits and ass shots, like left, right, and center, and it's great.
Yep.
Yeah, it's, you know.
I came in with extremely low expectations, and you know, the action sequences were done really well. I can't deny that. You know, there was some really good fight choreography in there for, you know, all these, like, model-esque chicks in there.
Yeah.
They did a really good job. But yeah, as Ricky mentioned, Jeff mentioned, this completely over the top. They don't take themselves seriously.
No.
They're not ashamed with doing really, really
dumb,
campy,
shit.
Cheesy yeah. shit.
You well, know, I have to admit that the Asian chick that's in that movie,
freaking hot.
The one from God, City? She's just damn hot.
Yeah.
I loved her in Sin City. I loved her in. She was in one of the. Damn it, the car movie.
The car movie.
Fast and the Furious. One of those.
Fast and the Furious. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
she was in one of the Fast and the Furious movies.
Go Drift.
And, yeah, no, it was the second one. I think.
Oh,
the
second
the
one.
One that was with the rapper that did a horrible
more
job.
More Fast, More Furious.
Yeah.
See, the way I know this conversation's kind of going on long, but do you guys like it, or do you think the general audience likes it when the characters look exactly like they do in the movies as they do in the video game?
I think it's kind of important.
I think it's important that they get close.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that, like, for instance, Tomb Raider. I think that they couldn't have cast a better Lara Croft.
No, that one makes sense because that outfit. It yeah. looks hot for one in person, but I mean, in Dead or Alive, they had some of the same costumes they wear, and some of them are just ridiculous. Like the one that Bayman wears, that big, like kind of orange life preserver looking thing, looks cheesy as hell.
Oh, I see. You're talking about the actual wardrobe.
Exactly. Yeah. Or like in Resident Evil 2, when Jill Valentine's in it and she's wearing the same. Like, it looks cool in the video game, but it looks ridiculous.
Yeah,
but like,
yeah.
She's like a cop. I'm like, okay.
She looks a little out of place.
It's like the whole X-Men thing where they made the joke in the first X-Men where they got their suits and people are complaining that they're just black suit to the X. Then he makes Wolverine makes that comment, or someone makes a comment like, what would you rather us wear? Like,
blue
purple
yellow tights,
or yellow spandex? I'm like, it's true because it looks ridiculous in real life, but.
Yeah, you're right.
Completely.
Thank God they didn't go that route.
Yeah.
Well, personally, I think his hair looks ridiculous too, but they still put it in there. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was a realistic look on that hair, like that hair, like the way he has his hair in the movie. You could actually see people like being like, "Yeah, I could. Yeah, it's not bad." Like if they made a Simpsons live action movie and you saw like Marge Simpson without hair, you'd be like, "That's just not right."
Oh, I hope they never do that. I hope they never do that. Never ever. All right. All right, guys, we need a short list. Let's name off some good video game movies. Well, I've already named like GOA. You know, I think we're kind of fans of like Resident Evil and stuff. Like Mortal, Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider was a pretty good adaptation too. What else is out there?
Blood Rain had the potential to be really good, but it ended up being really, really bad.
But it was Uwe Boll.
Yeah, it's true.
That's all you have to
say. We'll just figure out.
I haven't seen that one. I'm tempted to, just because. I'm thinking differently of myself because I actually did like the DOA and I thought I was going to hate it.
Yeah.
So I don't know, maybe.
I've heard Blood Rain 2 is actually better, so I'm going to give that one a run. That's not Uwe Boll. And apparently there's a lot more nudity and stuff in it, so hey. But Kristanna Loken's in the first one and, you know, she's pretty hot.
Yeah.
They made a Super Mario Brothers movie. I'm not sure if I can suggest that.
Terrible.
That was coming up in my bad words.
Yeah, that's. I can't suggest that.
So good movie. So we already said Mortal Kombat. A really good one that isn't like the game really at all. Just uses the same kind of characters. Also, an anime is the Street Fighter 2 animated movie.
Okay.
You guys seen that?
I haven't seen
it's that. Amazing.
Yeah.
Some of the fights
he's
out. The Vega versus Chun-Li fight is freaking amazing. And
I like the Japanese version. Yeah. Oh, they had like KMFDM in the in
yeah
the
KMFDM. And they had like Stone Opal, Alice in Chains, and it was really, really good. Really done well. It was not about a tournament or anything like that, but it was just really cool.
That was a pleasant surprise. Yeah, there's lots of good video game to like OAV anime stuff that is pretty good. So yeah, bad stuff.
House of the Dead.
House of the Dead.
Uwe Boll.
Yeah, we're gonna have a lot
Getting
of
Uwe Boll. Boll, yeah.
Seriously, I mean that I can't think of anything that he's made yet that I can suggest.
Yeah, no.
I haven't seen the whole the Dungeon Siege one yet, but you know, I heard it was just out there.
Jason Strahan, yeah.
So I mean, I'm gonna probably wait until it comes on HBO because I'm into that whole medieval fantasy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I'll probably watch it when it comes on like the movie channels or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to go out of my way to see it.
No.
However, Postal is coming out, and I actually do have a desire to see that. So maybe that will end up being the first good Uwe Boll movie.
Maybe.
I hope so.
Hitman again.
I hate to write him off, you know, because so many people have, you know, jumped on the Uwe Boll hating bandwagon, you know. And I don't think I've given him a fair enough.
You just
shot.
Don't want him to call you in the ring and box you.
I think I could take him.
I think you would. You see the people he picked out for that? Like, he handpicked.
Yeah, he handpicked people.
I'm like,
for that.
Dude, you're such a pussy. Why don't you pick somebody at least half your size and looks like they've actually thrown a punch in their life?
Exactly. Well, Chris mentioned before Super Mario Brothers. I mean, that game or that movie could not have steered further away from the original game.
Yeah.
Just could not. Nothing. You know, it took this happy, you know, circus hop and bop music game where you're, you know, bopping mushrooms and grabbing coins into this, like, kind of dark, seedy cyberpunk thriller world.
Yeah,
what the fuck?
I don't even know what it was. It was so messed up.
I have no idea to this day, and it's still one of the worst movies that I've ever ever seen.
No.
Oh, Double Dragon's terrible too.
Double Dragon is very bad. Is very bad. Oh, good God!
I think that might go on my number one all time. That and I think Super Mario Brothers are tied for worst video game movies ever made.
Nice.
Chris, you got anything to chime in with?
I think I've put my 2 cents in already.
Think so? I think I'm done.
So
I
overall,
a bad taste in my mouth now.
Overall, okay. What? Let's do it at the end of it off. I'm not sure if you had this on the list or not, Jason. But if you wanted to see one movie turn into or one game turn into a movie and done well, what would it be?
You know, I used to think Metal Gear Solid. Actually, when I first when I first played through that game, you know, and I was watching the credits roll, I'm like, God damn, this would make a good movie.
Yeah.
I don't think so much anymore because that in of itself is a really good experience, and I don't know. I'd be afraid of what they would do to it on the big screen. I can't name any one particular title. All I can say is that, you know, you take a game that has a somewhat loose, you know, background and then, you know, create your own vision with it.
Yeah. I can see a Metal Gear Solid working if they took those, because some of those characters are really cool, but they'd have to make the storyline a little bit more streamlined for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Well, the thing with the characters is that, you know, they were all fleshed out pretty well and they all had a pretty good background. And that would be tough to portray in a movie in a 2-hour time limit.
True.
So you might not get
it. It would have to be limited to the number of characters that you're going to put in there.
Yeah.
Like, because all the Metal Gears have, like, at least half a dozen fancy boss characters in it. And they wouldn't be able to have that many in a movie. It would have to be maybe one, maybe two.
Yeah.
So, if I had to pick a series and I knew that the movie was going to be good, is that what you're asking?
Yeah, basically.
If I knew it was going to be good, I'd have to say Castlevania. If I knew it was going to be good.
Well, that's been picked up.
I know.
That was
in scripts.
If it's bad, I'm going to hunt down whoever decided to make it bad, and I'm going to have to shoot him.
Yeah.
That's what it boils down to. So. Is the guy assassinated? No, I'm just kidding. It's not.
Yeah, watch what you say.
Yeah, that
one has a lot of potential.
I'm just kidding. I'm not. That was totally a joke.
Mm-hmm.
But, I could see that. I could see enjoying that.
Cool.
Think so too. How about you?
Mine's pretty predictable, and I think a lot of people want to see it, but it would be Halo. And it would have to be done. Yeah, it would have to be done. I think as a trilogy, kind of like Lord of the Rings, to actually tell it well, like Star Wars. Because the game, if you follow the storyline, it's got really good development in terms of all the different races and species of stuff that's in it. Like the first game could be, it couldn't be based on Master Chief either. He'd have to be like a secondary character almost. Because just like again, like having one character following around a movie would just not be fun. Like when you're not controlling them. If, like the first movie could be like an aliens type thing, like the Covenant invades the ship, whatever, and go land on Halo. It's all these crews. Be like kind of similar to Aliens. Of course, that's kind of really like cliche, but whatever. And then the second one could be about how there's this whole uproar within the Covenant, how there's like a civil war going on and an uprising of a different power. And then the third one could be about the Covenant and, you know, humans kind of getting together against like the Flood and this like rogue Covenant guy. I think it would be, if it was done in a trilogy, I think it could be done really, really well. Because it actually has, the games don't portray the story that well. But if you go into any of the side, like, you know, like the fan fiction or even some of the books that were written, it's got a lot of potential. And if it was done right, it could be really good science fiction, like action movies.
Have you read any of my fan fiction? Oh, wait, I already made that joke.
You already did that joke, yeah.
Crap.
And I fell for it once. I'm not going to do it again.
Well, that actually, you reminded me of another one I think would be good. And I'm not going to go into too much detail, but just to quickly throw it out there. Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Because the story is definitely there, and they've definitely got a lot of character, you know, backstory and race you know, information, and they already have a book out, and they're making another book, apparently. Good stuff.
Cool stuff.
Well, there's lots of titles on the horizon that may or may not get into, you know, production, but the license has been picked up. So noteworthy ones, Alone in the Dark 2. I'm really looking forward to that one. Yep. But no, it's weird things like Area 51. There's also like Assassin's Creed, Bioshock, Castlevania, as Chris mentioned. City of Heroes, that may or may not be good. Going down the list, Devil May Cry. I would actually like to see that one.
Oh, neat. Yeah.
I would not like to see
Bioshock would be really good if they'd stayed away from the action almost entirely and just had it based in Rapture and have this crazy storyline about how something. Like, I think that would be really good, but they couldn't. Don't make it like a high action movie at all. Make it something like, I don't know, something a little bit different, like a Gangs of New York type thing, but like underwater. Would be.
I would love to see like a prequel.
That's what I was just thinking. I would like to see something that got you, basically gave you Rapture and got you to where Rapture was when you started the game.
Mm-hmm.
That would be really cool.
Agreed. Other noteworthy ones, God of War, Jeff?
Yeah, but yeah. I don't see them ever making a good movie out of that. Just because I don't think it'll happen.
Honestly, because I don't think any actual actor could portray Kratos the way he needs to be portrayed.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I could think of someone who could actually do that.
I don't know.
Nobody comes to mind.
Batista from WWE would make an amazing Marcus Fenix in a Gears of War movie.
Do you watch wrestling much?
Wrestling?
You're in there. Yeah.
No, not at all. We're allowed to see, like, every once in a while, if it's on at a bar, I'll be like, watch it, but I never really watch it.
Just curious. All right. Some other ones, Silent Hill 2, Soul Calibur, Spyro the Dragon.
Soul Calibur, really? Spyro.
Yeah.
Are these ones that have been licensed that you're naming off?
Exactly. Yeah. Wow. Some actually have dates, some are to be announced, but. Spyro the Dragon. Last one I wanted to mention is Uncharted.
Really? That would be kind of
I can
cool.
see that.
I really like the characters in Uncharted, so if they
that game definitely had a Hollywood, you know, summer blockbuster feel to me.
Yeah, it did. It definitely did. Yeah. And, I mean, Drake is a good character. I mean, Nathan Drake is just a good character, in my opinion. I mean, he's not very flashy, you know, and he's not an everyday guy.
Like, he's almost an anti-hero, almost.
Yeah, kind of.
Sort of.
What?
But he's definitely not a hero type character, though.
Correct.
You know, he's not a down-to-earth guy like any old Joe on the street.
No.
But he's not. He doesn't have like the. He's not like the Indiana Jones of video games or anything.
He's far from a superhero by any means. You know, and you know they definitely. Tried to illustrate that, you know, whenever he's getting shot at, you know, he'd like duck his head. He's like, oh my god, oh shit, you know.
You have to.
That he was, you know, actually afraid of that sort of thing. So yeah, he's an everyday man, kind of hero.
All right. Final thoughts. Anything else?
Final thoughts. Most should not be made.
Yeah, I don't think there's a reason for them to be made, but I kind of hope that they don't stop being made because a lot of them are entertaining, even for just humor, the humor
involved.
Yeah,
I was going to say, the fact where you could just go and laugh.
Yeah.
I think very few of these are made as a labor of love, you know? They're just quick, you know, shots from Hollywood to try and get some money, I guess.
That's all it is.
You know, they see a successful medium, you know, they're cashing in. I'm sorry, that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah. Hey, it's very rare you'll have a bunch of actors, a director that have actually played the games and love them that much to actually want to create it, you know?
Yeah.
It's not always a Peter Jackson for a video game movie.
Yep. I wish there were more of him. Let's clone him. Get the movies out faster.
Exactly.
Cool.
All right. So shall we move on to new releases?
We shall.
All right. Real quick. Actually, not real quick. Really, because this is a good week. For the Wii...
Mm-hmm.
Obscure the Aftermath, which is it's a survival horror game. Octomania, which is a puzzle game. And Apuna, which is the RPG that's coming out that has the weird guys with the little balls on their head. I don't know. BSV was really into that one. I watched some videos of it, and I'm like, I don't know about that.
Let's see. Backyard Baseball 2000. Oh, sorry. DS.
Yes.
Backyard Baseball 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Harvest Moon DS Cute. I don't know what the cute means, but it's on there. And Ninja Gaiden Dragon Sword.
Nice. Getting that one for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Me too, man. Let's see. 360. Dark Sector.
Yeah.
Which, I've been watching some videos of this game, and it's like, I have to say, this is what came to mind the first time I saw the videos of it. It's like Gears of War plus Crawl.
Hell yeah.
I'm like, that could be fucking awesome. So,
could be.
I'm actually, I'm gonna chill out and I'm gonna wait on that one just because I have other things to play, but that's definitely on my radar.
Oh, really? So I was gonna chill out and wait until you played it, see what you thought.
Well,
damn it! All right.
I'm waiting for it. So.
So next year we'll be talking about our first impressions of Dark Sector.
Yeah, all right. Exactly. Okay. Stay tuned at Christmas time for Universe at War: Earth Assault. That's the console RTS by Sega.
Mm-hmm.
And Viking Battle for Asgard,
mm-hmm.
which is it kind of struck me as like God of War ish, but using Norse mythology instead of Greek mythology.
Yeah.
Did you say God of War clonish or just
God of War clonish?
God just of check. War clone. Yeah, it's kind of a clonish, but honestly, when I started watching some videos of it, it reminded me more of Heavenly Sword than it did God of War, because, and the reason I say that is because there's, you know, in God of War, there's not the huge mass of enemies coming at you at one time. Mm-hmm. But in Viking, it looks like there is. And Heavenly Sword had that, too.
Yeah, true.
So, all right. PS3 is also getting Dark Sector and Viking.
Mm-hmm.
PS2 is getting Naruto Ultimate Ninja 3.
Ultimate.
That's for Ricky. PSP. Warriors Orochi, which is the Dynasty and Samurai Warriors mashup.
Mm-hmm.
And Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core.
Yeah.
Which is the action RPG based on Final Fantasy VII.
It's a portable week for me.
Oh, man. Me too, man. I'm getting both of those. Actually, I have Crisis Core on pre-order already.
Mm-hmm.
From, I can't remember the name of the place, but they had it up for like $29.
Oh, nice.
So I'm hoping they stick to that price, and I'm hoping it actually gets here in a timely fashion. So, just to go over the highlights, Ninja Gaiden Dragon Sword for DS, Dark Sector, Viking, mm-hmm. possibly Universe at War. I've heard some good things, but I'm not too sure. And Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core.
Mm-hmm.
There we are.
Neato.
All right. Did we get any emails that weren't based on the question of the week?
We got a few emails. I think they were all from Nabo, but I just picked one, actually. Just based on punctuation and grammar alone.
Or lack thereof.
He was actually like formally polite in this one, and there wasn't like a rant about like fucking Barney or anything. So,
are you sure it's from Nabo?
I think. Oh,
for the
shit,
record,
I better
Nabo
double check.
Nabo sends us like 3 emails a week.
I just got to.
They're too obscene even for us.
Yeah. Well, this one actually, he doesn't start the swearing until like after the PS. So everything before it is actually nice, I guess. Let's get into that. It says, "Hello, Jason, Chris, and Jeff. I have some good news. I received my God of War game in the mail, and I've finally gotten to play it. As always, I must disagree and say that the Hydra battle was a complete mess in terms of design, simply because a giant snake with 3 heads shouldn't blow hot air on me as a finishing move. Either way, it's one of the few beat-em-up games I've played in a long time since Battletoads in the arcade at Pizza Hut and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles back on the Game Boy. So, Jeff, are we on speaking terms yet? Take it easy. Nabo."
Definitely.
Yeah, then he starts going off about gay kids and Barney and Michael Jackson hugging, and I don't know. So,
weird.
Just one long bleep, pretty much.
Let us know what you think after if you complete God of War, Nabo. See if you're a converted fan. Because if not, then I could never talk to you again. You will remain nameless
So you get
he who that shall he who shall
and
not
I'm sorry,
be made.
But the Hydra battle is fantastic.
It's awesome. And the only problem with Hydra battle is that I know is just because you can't really die at it. It's kind of like a tutorial kind of thing, but it's just so fun. And do you say you didn't like the design of that
well, he
boss
said
battle?
That blowing hot air that can kill him or something. I'm like, if you.
Nobble's one of those people is like, that wouldn't happen in real life. He found something that he didn't.
Dragons
like.
Don't breathe hot air.
Yeah. And he's. It completely brought him out of the game, and he's like, fuck this game. It's stupid. Yeah.
A three-headed dragon? There's no such thing as a three-headed dragon.
Nice.
Oh, shit. All right, that's all I got for emails. We should talk about question of the week, though.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Next week.
We have one of those?
Yeah, we do, I think.
What do you think we should do?
Well, we've heard a lot of bullshit from Microsoft lately about downloading shit. Maybe we should talk about that.
Like digital distribution?
Do it. Yeah.
Well, there's lots of stuff. Like there's like Steam directed download. So it's not just Microsoft stuff.
No, it's not Microsoft. It's, like, it's Apple. Well, it's Microsoft. It's
Steam. Well, that even ties into just, you know, PSN and, you know, the marketplace in general, I guess. Sure. So.
Yeah.
Like downloading entire games like Warcraft or something. Or not so, Warcraft, but Warhawk.
All right, so digital distribution. What do you think? Is it a good idea or is it a bad idea? Or is it somewhere in between? Or tell us what you think. It doesn't matter.
All right.
Sound
I'll
good?
I'll do that.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
All right. I'll reach you.
Make it a date.
Well, you guys want to throw anything in before we cap this episode and wrap it up and call it, put it on the shelf?
Chris, how do they contact us?
Oh, that would be something good to add, wouldn't it?
Yeah, whatever.
I'm a horrible host. So,
you know that?
Fuck you, Jeff. you can contact us. You can answer the question of the week or just give us some feedback. Just send us an email at email@interactivedistractions.com. You can also find us on the forums at vgevo.com. What we really want is some voicemails. So send us a voicemail.
Now, there's some controversy with this.
Yes, there is.
A lot of people are saying that there's problems with the voicemail line, and I did try it just before the show, and it does seem to be working. There is kind of a pause. I don't know if you're waiting long enough or something. I don't know. I have not had any problems as of yet. Keep trying. If our voicemail line does not work, a second alternative would just be to either record it on your PC, or you can reach us on Google Talk. You have to download the client. There's instructions on that in the forum.
Right. So the voicemail number is 818-528-GAME, 818-528-4263. You can leave us a voicemail on Skype also at Interactive Distractions, all lowercase, all one word. Crap. I took your tagline, Jason.
Well, I'm done for the night, guys.
I'm sorry, dude.
One job.
So you can leave us a voicemail on Skype, Interactive Distractions, one word.
All lowercase.
I'm sorry. Wow. Okay.
Jason, man, come on now.
Well,
I'm trying.
We had a system and it got thrown to hell.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's
can't
all
work
fault.
With you guys anymore.
as Jason said, you can get us on Google Talk as well. It's interactivedistractions@gmail.com. And we're going to throw this out there. Warhawk Wednesdays. We're trying to start doing this. We're trying to start getting into Warhawk. The three of us are not experts on the game, so experts should probably stay away for a while until we get up to speed.
Please.
Yeah, because we don't want to be showing up right away. I mean,
noobs only. Let us practice.
Friendly fire off. Because I don't know what I'm shooting at.
Yeah, because I shoot anything that moves.
we're gonna try and be on for at least a couple hours, probably starting around 9 p.m. Eastern on Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. So look for us. We should probably do PSN IDs. They are on the website, so go to interactivedistractions.com and click on About Us, and our PSN IDs are on there. But I am Shinobishi.
I am Unistrek, UNASTRIKE.
And I am Goffy, GOFFEY.
So there you go. And if you didn't catch those, you can, as I said, go to the website, hit About Us, and they're on there.
Ricky says I don't sound nearly as sexy on PSN as I do on the show. And I told him that's because I didn't run the sexy filter over my voice.
Nice. Cool.
He was a little disappointed. I guess I didn't live up to the expectation that he had or something. I don't know.
I guess not.
So
we need to. I'm really hoping Warhawk Wednesday works out.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that we get some people. that don't kill us as soon as they see us. I should throw that in there, too.
Did you throw out a time? What time we start? Because you don't get home until like about 9
p.m. Eastern. Yeah, 9 p.m. Eastern. That's usual. I usually get home from Wednesday's my bowling night. I usually get home between 8:30 and 9 o'clock. So that's when Jason and I thought would be a good time to start, would be around 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And I figure like 9 to 11 is pretty good. So we'll get a couple hours of play in, and we'll see how it goes.
Cool.
Different.
Guys, have anything else?
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Right. Well, thank you everyone for listening, and hope you enjoyed the show. And I am Chris, and for Jeff and Jason,
Jesus died eggs for our sins.
And we'll see you next week.
We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.